Would you like to see the big guy, the skipper, the head honcho?
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, Captain.
You're listening to Morning Joe with the CEO.
Good morning, Rhoda, and good morning, Skipper. How are you doing on this fabulous Thursday?
I'm doing well, and every time I hear that, I think of my kids trying to do Morning Joe with the CEO. So, you know, it makes me laugh. I always laugh at that.
Like, do they have like a record of like all of your shows previously? And there's like
I sure hope not. Probably not. No, but we do laugh about that intro every time I hear it. And no, doing well.
Did you and your family like enjoy the 4-day weekend that came by?
We actually went to Strasbourg, France for a couple of days. It was one of the last places over in France that we wanted to see. Had the chance to wander around, see the old French quarter of it, to see some of the newer areas, saw the European Parliament, saw the International Tribunal Court that they have there for human rights. It was a lot of really cool stuff. It was cold. It was really, really cold, especially compared to here. But I do enjoy going to France, seeing a different culture that's right on the border of Spain, seeing some of the differences in the foods and the dress and the language, the incomprehensibility of German when you're close there. It just feels like it's from a different world to me. When French is so close, you can speak Spanish and French and almost understand some stuff, and then somebody throws German and it's all out the window to me.
Yeah, it's that mixture of like dialect too would probably change it up, just because they have to be able to switch between French and German.
Right in the Alsace region. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Alsace region is really cool as a melting pot of all those different cultures, and listening to some of the ways that those cultures have swapped back and forth over time and in the history of the wars and how that's affected the way that the buildings are built, the way that the governance takes place, the way the foods are all presented, the type of food that you eat. It's really cool. It's fascinating. I love how you can go just a couple hours away and see something so different than you do here. It's absolutely fascinating. And I think we all had a lot of fun, walked miles and miles and miles through the town. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know a few of my buddies were able to, like, not this over this 4-day, but in the previous holidays that we have had, they were able to go to Austria. And they
That'd be cool, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were able to go hit some slopes. They did a lot of good video shoots out there.
Yeah, sure.
And they weren't even getting paid. I mean, they were getting paid. Yeah. You know. Oh, did you do anything else beyond the 4-day that we just had? Any other holidays?
Since the last time we talked, I don't think we did a lot of travel. We did a lot of enjoying the local area. We spent time with our friends on base. We spent time exploring the communities around us for a little bit. We spent a lot of time together as a family. It was really good just to relax and recharge, because 2025 is going to be a year. So it was good to take the chance to take a breath before kind of getting back at it.
Yeah, now we're getting to the swing of it. We're starting to get the busy season.
Yeah.
I know we're starting to get our lineup of trainings too here.
Yeah, I'm sure it's everybody's got to get their training lined up. So we had a lot of fun stuff we did at the end of last year. We had the Three Kings Comrail project that came to the elementary school. So we had the chance to welcome our Dama, Olivia Bussi, in one of the parades. She did an amazing job representing us throughout that entire Damas process. We had USS Bulkley come back. She had been out for a while. So it was great to be able to welcome Bulkley back, especially because they got back just in time to celebrate Christmas over the holiday period. excuse me. And then we settled into our own little celebrations here. And I'm sure that most of the installation had the chance to find a way to celebrate in a way that brought them a little bit of comfort and relaxation. But yeah, the year is fully here. The rhythms are back on. So the work rhythm's back on. We've had to deal with some pretty heavy stuff since we've come back to work. There's a couple of really big things I talked about with the installation yesterday in all hands. Called number one, we had a peace deal. That between Israel and Hamas. I'm really, really hopeful that peace deal is going to start to lift some of the stress that specifically our ships have felt in the deployment and or the readiness cycle, their employments that they've been facing here, because they've been doing a lot of work in response to the tensions that we faced over in that region. I'm also hopeful that some of the stuff we've been looking at in terms of having to get people out of tricky situations, some of those expectations are going to start to lift as that peace deal starts to strengthen and show that it's legitimate. So that was a really big deal. We've also had the inauguration, the change in administrations. I'm sure a lot of people have read through some of those executive orders, but the one that we were really focused on yesterday was a potential hiring freeze that could have affected all the civilians in DOD. Got word yesterday, though, through the Office of Management and Budget that the hiring freeze does not affect DOD. So for anybody listening, the hiring freeze executive order does not affect the DOD per Office of Management and Budget. We got that word from DOD yesterday. So we will continue to be able to hire the folks that we need here to support the installation. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to make this year interesting, whether it is how the administration's policies affect our relationship here. And I think we'll talk more about our relationship Spain later on in the show. To me having a change of command in the middle of June. So personally, for me and my family, it's going to be a very big change from here to our next duty station. And it's just going to be a lot. And I'm really looking forward to it because I'm incredibly proud of everything we've done over the past 2.5 years and really excited to see now that we're hitting our stride what we're able to pull off in the first half of 2025.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a good little segue, especially when we're going to be having another guest kind of join you in with that conversation, kind of introduce themselves for their first morning show.
Yeah, it just highlights how important it is to have a good team to be able to get stuff done. Yeah.
And we'll be hearing more about those teams after a little bit of a break with some Taylor Swift as per selection of the CO.
Yes.
So make sure you enjoy a little bit of Karma.
If Christina's listening, she is.
You flip the script for the hell of it. Addicted to betrayal, but you're.
And we are back at 7:18 in the morning. And of course, we got the CO with us. And we have our special guest, CMC, coming in for the first time for the morning show. How are you doing, Chief or Master Chief?
Hey, doing great. Glad to be part of this morning show.
Yeah? And we were talking earlier. I know you were in the room silently reading over the script about our four-day holiday. Did you do anything exciting?
Yeah, so family and I, we decided to do a last-minute trip to Lisbon. Great location. I would say it's expensive.
It's very expensive.
Compared to, you know, South Spain, but great location. Would have been better if it wasn't for, you know, the weather, but we went through it. Easy drive, 5.5 hour drive. Imagine with 3 kids, right?
Oh, so sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, but it was great.
And so, well, we get to know you a little bit more. We get to hear about your trips over to Lisbon, over to Portugal. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about yourself? Like, how would you introduce yourself to somebody who, like, we don't know anything about you?
All right, so Navy-wise, so I'm, you know, I've been in 25 plus years. I would say all fun years, and I had 7 ships under my belt, pretty much all platform. 2 LHDs, LHA carrier, 1 destroyer, both LCS platforms. So operated mostly in the Pacific. Had a great time. Out of that 25 plus years, I would say about 16 years of those were overseas, including Hawaii. So enjoy. We love being overseas. I love it. Travel opportunity, experiencing different culture. Now we're in Spain, so a different experience, so still exploring, really enjoying it. So that's how I kind of survive when I get asked, hey, how you doing it? You know, just have fun, you know, take advantage.
So, TMC, where are you from?
So I was born in Philippines, about a hometown in Tucson, Arizona, graduated high school there back in 96. Yes, 96. That's when I graduated high school, so I just turned 16 at the time, but I was one of those school honor grad, and so that's, I consider that home. And then, of course, you know, my family's here with me, 3 girls. As far as hobbies, I mean, I always ask them back: is it before the kids or after the kids?
Right? It's a dichotomy, all right. So, what were the hobbies before kids?
Before kids, it would be golf, scuba diving, skydiving, anything outdoor, surfing, and then now with kids, it's whatever they want to do.
Of course, yeah.
Right? That's how it works. So,
yeah, the change up right there is really real. And I, you know, even just being married too, like, whatever the wife wants to do, right?
Yeah, that too. You know, happy, happy wife, happy life.
Right? Yeah. Well, I think it's also important that you find the right partner. So,
oh, yes.
Because we joke, happy wife, happy life, but it's more than that, right? So as long as you have somebody who is, who supports what you want to do and does stuff that is interesting to you, then it's not really a burden to to do those things. Like, you want to go walk around? That sounds great. Let's go
do that
together, because it's just a fun thing to do together. And yeah, I love that.
Yeah, they could introduce you to like a whole new world too. It's like, you know, I've never explored this side, and it's great to have a partner to help carry you along with that. Like, hey, I'm experienced in doing this. You want to go try? Like, my wife loves to be a cheesemonger. She likes to try like different types of cheeses.
Yeah.
To me personally,
I'm with you on the cheese thing. Yeah. It's far more important to my wife than it is to me, the different types of cheese. But I do have fun trying all those different types of cheese, especially when she pulls out the blue cheese, which she hates and I love.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to try all that different stuff. Really, and I've hanging out with my wife, I know yesterday I had this presentation, I had to present, and I was very stressed about it. And it went pretty well. And I went home and I was talking about it with her once the kids were in bed. And I realized as I was talking through it that it was just a small snapshot into what she does and all the preparations she's had to do and the way she's had to go through doing briefs, which she doesn't. It was interesting. I realized that one day was a snapshot in the weeks of preparation that she has to do for her job. Really interesting. I love. So, yeah, whatever the wife wants to do, but it's not a tax. I think it's an opportunity. It's a lot of fun. So you were saying, CMC, that you have been at sea forever on pretty much every platform that we have. So what was your rating before?
So I was a former signalman,
Visual
comms, and then we got merged.
Can you still do semaphore?
I still remember it. It's one of those, I do break dance when you're communicating, everybody looking at you like crazy, right? I still retain it. Morse code, all that stuff, right? And then now, you know, then former, and then became a quartermaster. No choice there, even though I was trying to go somewhere else, like IT, corpsman, to do something else. But, you know, back then, hey, you're fully qualified. We're keeping you a quartermaster. So no regrets there. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed being out to sea. So,
as a former navigator, I do appreciate my quartermasters, and I love time on the bridge.
Yep.
And it's one of the few jobs you have where you're guaranteed some time with a little bit of sunlight.
Oh, yes.
No, you got to go out as an MC. I think it was a photographer's mate back probably when you guys were serving before our merger.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So,
and then JO became JO. Mm-hmm.
I would not be a JO if I could. Shout out to all my JOs out there, all the retired guys, but not for me. I'm not as good as writing as I am with the camera. So,
how was that transition for you from quartermaster to CMC?
Of course, it's there's a disparity between the two rates, right? Not trying to be biased, but I would say it would be a lot easier for signalman to transition to quartermaster, right? Because we retain.
Operating the stern propulsion. Yeah, we all heard three short blasts.
We're listening. We're hearing the stern propulsion here. So we retain a lot of quartermaster stuff and also the former signalman stuff, right? Because we retain that. So when we transitioned, it was a lot easier. So now the problem now with quartermasters trying to learn signalman rating, it's really kind of hard for them because they got to memorize Morse code. They got to know what chapter, ATP1, volume 2, and all that, right? So it has to be, it's not a natural instinct.
Yeah.
So that's really the advantage of transitioning. If you're a former signalman, you retain those knowledge.
Yeah.
So.
How do you like the CMC job?
Love it. You know, best decision ever. reason being is, you know, former signalman, there's nothing else professionally for me. Attained, you know, all the big platforms. When you know, move up ranks, you can only go back to a big platform, right?
Yeah.
LHD, LHA carrier. So I've done four. And then designated twice as a navigator. You being a former navigator skipper, you know how much responsibility that was.
It's a little bit,
But it was fun, job satisfaction. So, and then that, to that point, I said, you know what? Started an ATG mid-pack in Hawaii. I was the the SEL at the time, a senior chief, and I was like, you know, I can do this. This is easy. They think it's a lot of stress, or a lot of responsibility. Yes, true, but you can manage stress. You know, if you make it fun, your job, it don't matter what job you take, what your job is. If you make it fun, you know, work-life balance and everything else. And that was the point where, you know what, I'm applying for a CMC program, not knowing that I'm going to get selected the first time up. So I got selected back in 18, Command Senior Chief Program.
So where have you had the chance to serve as a CMC?
So made it, so from ATG Mid-Pac, made it Command Senior Chief, and then went to Boxer, but I got upheld there because I have the NEC, yep. Basic 12 Alpha at the time, so... Prior deployment, and then went back on deployment. They didn't let me go after four orders, so I did that, and then finally they let me go 2 years later. Went to LCS, back to LCS platform because I had that experience, and they're wrapping up first deployment again, so volunteered. So I did USS Charles, not USS Charleston yet. It was a pre-com unit, USS Mobile, Gold Crew. And then they needed me to go on deployment, so I went to USS Charleston, LCS 18. Couple of deployments there. My crew did three deployments. I did two. Mm. And then I went ashore duty after that. Went to NABSUP, FLC Sigonella. Loved it, enjoyed it. My stay there, learned some new things other than ship life. And then now I'm here in Naval Station Rota. So appreciate, you know, Captain, you know, working with you. I got a few more months with you, so we're going to take every opportunity we can to have fun.
Yeah, have some fun. I think it's funny watching you not struggle, but hesitate over the jobs that you have and the chronological order of it when we've been playing the game so long. If I have to think about my JO tour, I have to work backwards to remember when I got to this job. And okay, so 2 years ago I was here, 3 years ago I was there. It just takes a long time. You young kids in the background, you'll get there eventually.
One of these days.
One of these days.
You know, both of you have like an amazing experience. You guys have been in multiple places, multiple different areas. And so I want to basically take five and ask you a couple of questions. Get to nitpick and know you a little bit more. I know you've probably answered these questions a few times.
I'm happy to do it. It's probably changes every time.
Oh, it definitely changes every time. Food changes, and that's going to be our number one question. Okay. Because what's your favorite galley or mess meal, and where'd you get it from?
Okay, so I've got two. I'm going to hedge my bets on this one. So Slider Wednesdays, always love sliders. But on the carrier, it was brunch and getting waffles at brunch. That was, and that brought the waffles tradition back. So now we do waffles every other weekend at home too. Yeah. What about you, CMC?
excuse me. On a ship, comfort food for me would be Sloppy Joe's.
Right? Joe's.
Can never go wrong with that. You can mix it up with rice, or if you're not feeling rice for that day, go grab you a bun. You'll be okay. And then pizza and wings, right? Yeah. But on the ship, it's more so like what Captain said, brunch is like the best one.
Yep.
Wake up late, 10, you know, grab whatever you want, and it's just different, especially on the carrier.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's like a feast there. It's like a festivity. It's like crazy, right?
You can see everybody in the mess decks or in the wardroom, their shoulders are just a little bit looser. Everybody's just a little bit more relaxed as they go into that. It's a nice little respite in a week of nonstop work.
We got to get you two on one of the Merchant Marine ships. I was one that I was able to get on for
reserve
duty. I
heard life ain't bad on those, yeah.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. Because we were we overmanned our CSs. So there was six of them and there was only 20 of us. So they were just like kind of just hitting the gym and just, they were being absolute chefs. And we had like a good sock. Beautiful, beautiful. Like we had bulgogi. We did a bunch of different we did a lot of different Asian style because we were in the Philippines as well.
Yeah.
So we just picked up stock and basically made whatever we wanted. I was like, damn, you guys are spoiling me because once I go back active, this is gonna be
it's
gonna be a change. So I know while you're here in Europe too, CMC, you talked about you've already been to Lisbon. Do you have like a dream destination you want to go to this year?
Yes, I do. It takes a lot of planning. So any travel, full disclosure, that we do is actually I leave that to my wife, Anastasia, right? So she does all the travel, planning, coordination, all that. So if something didn't work out, then she can't blame me. So that's just how I win, right? I just look at her and smile. I told you. We want, at least for me, since my girls, with three girls, right? We've been planning to go to Santa Claus Village. So I don't know when we're going to do that because you got to at least plan for that 6 months to a year to get a reservation there. So that's one. And then anywhere in Switzerland. We came close, but anywhere in Switzerland, we want to try that. Not during wintertime, but maybe springtime so we can still enjoy it. Usually on holidays, we go to slopes, anything mountain, and then snowboards, skis, but this time we kind of pass on it, so we'll see. So those are the two, in my opinion, that I want to do. I'm pretty sure my girls will love to go visit Santa Claus Village as well in Finland, so we'll see.
And Skipper, is there any places you want to go before you depart the European theater?
I mean, there's probably 2 dozen places I want to go that we won't be able to get to. I would love to get north of the Arctic Circle. It's so hard to do. It's expensive. It takes a lot of planning, and the world never seems to give us the chance to plan that far in advance for stuff like that.
Yeah.
I would love to get back to Ireland. Ireland is a stunning place. Scotland is a stunning place. Some of the Eastern European countries, I would love to have the chance to visit those. But the world makes it challenging to go places like that right now until things calm down between Russia and Ukraine. Some of those areas are just a little riskier to go to. I don't know. Paris might have been the highlight of what we've done here. So I think walking around Paris with the kids was absolutely phenomenal.
And we were talking about like little hobbies that we like to do. You said you like to go skydiving, you like to go scuba diving. So what are you planning to do? Is that your big hobby that you're trying to get back into now? Or have you picked up something else that you were just like fully dedicated to?
So anything high risk, I kind of slow down. So now I got to get back to, really like going back to playing golf. That that's one thing, right? I got to play sports of some sort. So get back to golf whenever I can. But like I said, like Skipper said, right, time. So weekend is really when I used to do play golf, right? But now weekend is like, all right, girls, what do you guys want to do? So, but I think I found a way to do it. I got to try that out. And one of my girls to get interested in playing golf. So that would be my excuse. So we'll see how that works.
Plant the seeds just a little bit. Yeah, just give them like, hey, do you want to come hang out with dad and just like swing for par for a little bit?
That's it, man. We'll see. We'll try that out.
And then, of course, Skipper, I know you have quite a long range of hobbies that don't involve this job.
My goal is to find the end of the library, read every book that I can read, and then find the end of the catalog for music. Listen to every bit of music that I can. Just sit there and enjoy that experience. It's a good way to recharge, and it's one that I think I share with, especially with my wife. We enjoy reading and listening to music. Right now, we enjoy sitting on the back porch and just talking while the weather's nice and you can see out over the water. I don't know. And then got to see as the interests of the kids start to blossom, ways that we can support them and be a part of it. Yeah, I'm sure that my hobbies will change over the next 10 years as my kids grow into the people they're going to become.
And have you been picking up any new TV shows lately? Anything piquing your interest?
TV shows are hard. It's hard. We do watch one that just this season 2 just came out last week. So we're going to sit there. I don't want to endorse any shows so somebody doesn't come after me for not endorsing another show. But one that my wife and I are excited about getting back into. Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta say, like one I can endorse because it's over, it's done with, is Yellowstone. Honestly, really great. My wife never watched it, and I was already almost done with the season, and so we're just like, you know what, let's just restart it.
Start over, yeah.
Because, you know, finding a good show to actually sit down and enjoy after like a long day, yeah, you just gotta find one.
Yep.
What about you, CMC? Anything you're watching?
Not a whole lot of TV shows. I would say when I was on the ship, I just watched you know, whoever got, you know, saved shows on their DVD or their drive, right? But I think the last one that I kind of, when I got home, my girls were watching Mr. Beast, the game show.
Yeah.
Right?
So wants every to buy Thursday, TikTok, apparently.
I guess so. Yeah, right? So, yeah, they got into that. And every Thursday, a new episode comes out. And it's like, hey, let's go play. I was like, how do you even know that this thing is on, like, new episode, right? I don't have no clue, but kind of enjoy whatever they like. So I'm getting used to it after a while.
Picking up basically all this new school stuff. When I think for me, I used to like keep track of schedules back with Game of Thrones was in its like second and third season. And that's when I would just be like, okay, it's 5 o'clock now. And
yep.
Popped up.
You're right. Yeah.
All right. And then, of course, we are a radio station, right? We like to hear your favorite song. Like, what's your number one pick?
Ooh.
What do you like to jam out to? A little bit of karaoke.
See, that's always get asked, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a changing question.
Too. So, out back in the days, let me tell you. All right. Anything Frank Sinatra, I know. Anything Boyz II Men, I'll rock that with Mariah Carey, right? All that. That was when I was in Japan, right? But lately, though, you know, because my girls listen to all these new songs, so I kind of pick up on, you know, Teddy Swims. They like Maroon 5, anything. And then we were jamming Die With A Smile on the way from Lisbon, right?
Yeah.
That was awesome. So there's a lot of new stuff that I'm learning because my girls, you know, request it, right? So... But mostly Boyz II Men back in the days, and R&Bs, and then Frank Sinatra, I grew up with that. James Taylor as well. High school, rock band, right? They just changed.
Yep.
So no, not this specific for me.
Yeah. Music evolves and it changes just a little bit.
Yep.
And Skipper, you're a big Tay-Tay fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's top of my list. I do enjoy it secretly when the kids put it on, because it's the way that she constructs her music, the sound that it presents, it's not bad to listen to. But so two questions, the karaoke song and favorite song, two different things for me. Mm-hmm. So karaoke song has always been Mac the Knife. So I sing Mac the Knife when I was in Japan. Favorite song, it's impossible to pick a favorite song, but I will say right now, when we were in Strasbourg, every time we go visit someplace, I love to find record shops and see what I can find in a record shop. Yeah. And while I was digging through one pile, my son walked over there holding an original Chicago Transit Authority.
Wow.
I grew up listening to Chicago. It was my dad's favorite band. Yeah. So having the original Chicago Transit Authority album on there is a song called Question 67 and 68. Love that song. And you never know when you buy a used album.
Yeah.
The condition it's going to be in. So we brought it home, put it on there. Condition's fantastic. The sound is amazing. It is a French pressing, so it's a little bit different than anything else I would have had before. And that song sounded amazing on it. And it was great to just sit back and play it just a little bit too loud for a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah. I think probably for me, it's like a song that me and my sister used to sing way back in the day. And I think you're going to hear it just in a second. It was Eminem and Rihanna singing Love the Way You Lie. And you know, as kids we didn't know what the lyrics actually meant, but
it's funny to me that was a song when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that.
Aging me, you know, just making me seem a little bit younger, you know. But for right now, I think that's what we're gonna be listening to, so please enjoy Love the Way I Lie.
Just gonna stand there.
7:44 a.m. and we're continuing on with the CO show. And while we were off the air, we were talking a little bit about some upcoming events here in Navstay Rota, and of course, with some new leadership means new positions. And so, you know, CMC, as you're coming in, is there anything that you wanted to talk about? Anything that you wanted to basically inform families, the community, anything like that?
Yeah, so I've been talking with a handful of our team here in on base, and first thing that I kind of put out or share with them is really, hey, hold yourself accountable before you can hold others, right? Own up, you know, take ownership. own it. If you own certain things, you know, it don't matter if it's program, department, whatnot. Take responsibility. Take ownership. Don't try to blame others for your for mistakes, and then go with it. Right. Make some process improvements. Think outside the box. How can we support the community? And get better at it. Don't get frustrated when somebody bring up a concern. As leaders, that's how we grow. You know, be receptive with all the inputs provided to you, and then make the right decision. And then you gotta set emotion aside. So I always do that. I always share that because I can think better when I don't associate emotions. But some people will kind of, you know, misunderstand what I'm trying to do. I'm emotionless or, you know, whatever, right? But it's more so on I need to think clearly because my decision will impact a person's career, right? So I got to make sure that I get everybody's feedback with no bias or whatnot. So it helps me over time to either provide the skipper the right recommendation or advice or myself making that decision on my level. So
that's an incredible challenge, right? Making dispassionate decisions while remaining emotionally invested in what you're deciding on.
That's true.
It's taken decades to figure out how to be able to do that. And I'm sure people look at me the same way often as I sit there doing my best to create the most stone-faced presentation that I can while I think over the information that they brought. And I know that's something I've only picked up recently. Yeah. My CO, when I was on the carrier, I remember watching him. He's an admiral now. Watching him take in information, and it used to drive me nuts because it would just be this dead silence. I'm like we owed this decision like 2 days ago. But he would just sit there, and sometimes literally like 2 days ago. But he would just sit there, and he would deliberate, and he would get comfortable with his decision. And then he would present his recommendation or his decision, and we would move out on that. And it taught me that even when it feels like the decision's got to be now, 98% of the time, it's not now.
Yes.
You have to be able to take in the information the right way to make the right decision to go. So, Admiral Clark, I will always be grateful for watching the way that he worked and forcing me to work through my perceptions of what's important in making decisions to get to the point to be able to make decisions on a scale like this, because I can't make decisions the way I did as a helicopter squadron CO on an installation. So that's such a great point. That's so hard to do, and it's hard to explain when you're doing it too.
And so while we're talking about our styles of leadership, how we want to handle things going forward with Team Rota, what are we expecting for this year? What are we looking forward to as like some key wins? Is there anything that we're expecting to happen here that you can put out?
So I will say overall, the key win is reinforcing that our job is to make sure the warfighters, the operational units, are able to deploy on time, every time, with the resources they need to execute their mission. I know that the installation doesn't own all the resources that those warfighters need, but if we can make sure that all of the resources we do own are there, are available, are being put to use, then we're doing our job right. And sometimes things break, sometimes schedules change, sometimes weather impacts it. But as long as we, as the installation, are providing the support that we can, then I'm calling that a win. There are a bunch of new programs that we have. There's some things that I'm trying to implement before I leave that I think can pay some huge dividends, using a bunch of different organizations to bring information and access to the sailors where they are. That's probably my number one priority over the course of the rest of my time, establishing a framework for that. So when the sailors are in the barracks or when they're down on the pier or when they're operating in Camp Mitchell or on the flight line, it doesn't matter where they are, MWR and USO and Fleet and Family and the Red Cross and whoever you can think of, Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, the Exchange, they have this group of folks with information, with entertainment, with access. It just shows up there to be able to present it to the sailors. I think there's some ways that we can strengthen that, and there are some really good folks with great ideas how to do that. That's one thing I want to do. Before I leave, but probably the biggest training operational thing that the installation has is FEP. We will have our final evaluation problem in March. That is one of our cornerstone events, demonstrating to CNIC, to the Navy really, that we are capable of providing the safety and providing for the safety and security of all of the folks who are here on the installation. It is a holistic look at fire and emergency services, emergency management, security, port operations, air operations, just the way that we operate, showing that we can make sure that our folks here are safe and secure. That might be the most important training operational thing the installation has, but we're going to have deployments over the course here that we support. We're going to have things that pop up on the flight line that we have to be able to support. So we haven't missed the mark yet, knock on wood. Our team is so good here that it doesn't matter what the combatant commander or the component commander asks of us. We're able to meet that mark. So as long as we can continue to meet those and support the operational requirements, it's going to be a good year.
And also supporting like our NATO allies, yep, our partners here in Spain, and this doing more joint operations, like all that just going to
That's a great point. I know that we're going to have some symposiums that we have the chance to host here that are going to be multinational symposiums. Mm-hmm. But all the stuff that I just talked about, and thank you for bringing back the focus on the two hats that I wear, I can't do any of those things, we can't do any of those things without the support of Spain and the Armada. So continuing to build that relationship, continuing to strengthen that relationship, to demonstrate to everybody around us that this relationship between the United States and Spain is a cornerstone of our NATO alliance, which is critical to maintaining the world order that we think is the best way, especially here in Europe. It's critical. You see everything on the borders of NATO and how they are probing for weaknesses in that alliance. Us simply demonstrating how good we are operating together, how much we trust ourselves, how strong that relationship is. It is a bulwark against some of those probes, against some of the folks who are looking to undermine the way that the democratic values that we try and demonstrate.
Yeah, and we've been doing a successful job at it for almost 250 years now.
Yep, so the Navy does have the chance to celebrate 250 years, but I will say that relationship between us and Spain is even older than that.
Mm-hmm.
Spain has been partner and an ally since before the United States existed. So we're going to take the 250 years that the Navy's existed, and we will celebrate that. And then we're also going to say, and our good buddies who have been there since before, you know, we had a Navy of our own. It's just a great thing to celebrate. And I know that we're going to have a slew of ways to celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States Navy. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm disappointed I won't be here to be able to celebrate it with everybody here in Rota. I will be in my next duty station. But we're going to have the chance to start to implement some of those things before I go. It's going to be one heck of a party.
Don't worry. I'll send you some photos and videos.
Represent,
fun
time. A bunch of selfies with the hats and the streamers.
Make sure you add in everything that was just said. Don't worry. This is all recorded too. So if you ever need like a little refresher on what we talked about, dang, hey, what did we talk about on the radio? We got you covered here. So in case you need that information. But I know we are coming close on time. So yeah. I just want to make sure that we're able to put out any last questions, comments, or concerns from CMC or Skipper.
Yeah, CMC, we have an OHA survey going on right now, don't we?
That is correct. So it's still happening. So until the survey will be available until 31st March. So take advantage of that. We should have the link via email or PAO notes. If you guys need it, let me know. Shoot me an email and I'll forward that to you. And then, of course, big ticket item, really, that's the OHA survey. And
the OHA survey, it's important to people who are living here. It helps to establish the baseline for what you all are paying for the right kind of housing out in the community. And as we continue to grow, that's going to remain important to make sure that our folks are able to find the right places to live, so that when they take off the uniform for the day and they go home and hang out with their families, it's a place where they just get the chance to enjoy time with their families or enjoy the hobbies that they have, and they're not worried about the place that they're living. So outside of that, I think we have some fun stuff coming up as well. Seems you're right up your alley, the golf scramble. Yep. I don't know if you're taking part in that. I am not, because I am not good at golf. It's fun getting out there, but I'm just not good at it.
Good at driving the caddy, though.
I lose interest. It's not that hard, so I just get bored.
Well, we'll take you out there.
You just got to carry me out there, metaphorically. Flag football. We have part of our Captain's Cup flag football stuff is coming up. That's next Saturday. Cool that we will have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cheerleaders out there to celebrate with us. And then the Sunday after that, and I've already had the mayor talking to me about it, the Armada talking to me about it, the Rota Moto Club 40th exhibition and rally. So if you live out in Rota, it's going to get noisy. But it is so much fun. It is so cool. They have great displays of all the motorcycles. They have cool little mini motorcycle racing events that take place. They've got food. They've got gear. The Armada and some of the U.S. forces will put some static displays up out there. It's a great chance to go out there. The whole family can go to these things. It's safe. It's fun. There's a lot of neat stuff to see. It is loud, so it may not hurt to bring some hearing protection for your kids if you're going to go out there. But, man, it's a whole lot of fun. And it's another great chance to get out there with the community and do some of the stuff with the community that they enjoy to do.
The joint cultural stuff. Yeah, the exchanges that we're doing between, like, hey, this is our motorcycles, these are your motorcycles, and let's come and show them off.
You're going to find a lot of cool our motorcycles that the Spanish have just adopted as their own and turned into a uniquely Spanish thing. It's really, really cool. A lot of fun.
The innovations of it all.
Yeah, just be safe. If you're riding a motorcycle, I'm a rider. Be safe. It doesn't matter how safe you are. There's just imagine that car next to you is going to try and kill you, and drive defensively the whole time. Motorcycles are a lot of fun. Just be safe when you're out there on the road.
All right, and I think that's basically going to cover everything. Thank you, CMC. Thank you, Skipper, for coming in again for the morning show.
Yeah,
I know we're
going
to be hearing from you, CMC, relatively soon for an afternoon show.
CMC yes. Super Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So make
Looking
sure
forward
you,
to it.
Yeah, make sure you keep your ears out for that one. But while I have your ears, let's get back to some music, too, with a little bit of a song selected by CMC that he briefly mentioned. We got Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars with Die With A Smile.
Die With A Smile.